This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Sturbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the July 30th and July 31st editions. This is Dave Russell. We begin with this story, Town of Charlton accepting applications for Opioid Settlement Funds Grant Program. The Town of Charlton is accepting applications for funding through the town's Opioid Settlement Funds Grant Program. The purpose of this program is to support initiatives that prevent opioid misuse, expand access to treatment and recovery services, reduce the harms associated with substance use disorders, and improve the health and well-being of Charlton residents. Funding is made available through the town's allocation of national opioid settlement funds and must be used for eligible purposes consistent with applicable settlement agreements and guidance. Funding may be requested to a maximum of $2,500 per applicant. Final awards will be distributed based on available funding as well as demonstrated need and community impact. Eligible applicants may include nonprofit organizations, educational institutions, healthcare providers, community-based organizations, and other organizations serving Charlton residents. Projects may include, but are not limited to, prevention and education programs, treatment and recovery support services, harm reduction initiatives, first responder or public safety initiatives related to opioid response, behavioral health and mental health services, community outreach and support programs, data collection, evaluation, and other evidence-based strategies that address opioid use disorders. Applications will be evaluated based on demonstrated community need, alignment with eligible opioid settlement uses, measurable outcomes, organizational capacity, and the anticipated impact on Charlton residents. Completed applications and all required supporting documentation for the first round of this grant must be submitted by August 31st. Late or incomplete applications may not be considered. Now we take a look at events coming up in our communities. Hitchcock's Summer Concert Series rocks Brimfield Town Common on Wednesday evenings. The Hitchcock Summer Concert Series, sponsored by Country Bank, takes place on Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. through August 19th on the Brimfield Town Common. In case of rain, concerts will move to Thursday. A food truck will be on site at each event. Picnics are also welcome. Chairs and blankets are encouraged. August 5th brings the Brimfield debut of The Willies, a popular community-focused classic rock and Americana band based out of Belchertown. The band performs across the western Massachusetts region, playing high-energy hits from the 1950s through the 1980s, also modern country and rock standards. Flippin' the Bird Barbecue returns for this concert. Longtime series favorite Cobblestone Road of Connecticut returns on August 12th with High Energy Country. Well known throughout the region for playing modern and classic country hits from the 1990s to today, their energetic style mixes classic country with rock and blues. Smashing Patties will have their concert series debut this evening as well. The series closes out on August 19th with Hard Knocks, a Westfield, Massachusetts-based party rock and cover band known for their high-energy shows and forgotten classics set list. Instead of regular cover tunes, they play unique, underappreciated gems from the 70s and 80s, making them a fixture in the western Massachusetts and northern Connecticut music scenes. BT's Smokehouse will return to bookend this year's food truck lineup. In addition to presenting sponsor Country Bank, this program is supported in part by a grant from the Brimfield Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council. For more information, visit www.hitchcockacademy.org. Hitchcock Academy is a community center located at 2 Brookfield Road in Brimfield, serving the community with educational, recreational, and cultural programming. And more entertainment in the region? Overlook free summer concert series in Charlton. Music lovers can enjoy live outdoor performances this month as the Overlook hosts its annual summer concert series on Tuesday evenings. The free concerts will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. on the outdoor commons at the Overlook, 88 Masonic Home Road, offering a variety of musical styles ranging from jazz and brass to classic rock and blues. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and enjoy an evening of live entertainment with family and friends. In the event of rain, performances will move indoors to the Performing Arts Center. The final concert will be held August 11th when the Luster Kings perform a mix of blues, rhythm and blues, and rockabilly music. The summer concert series has become a popular seasonal tradition, offering residents and visitors an opportunity to gather outdoors and enjoy live music in a relaxed setting. Admission is free and open to the public. For more information, you can call 508-403-4987 or visit overlookmass.org/events. You can also look forward to this annual Zucchini Festival returns to Holland August 16th. The Friends of the Holland Community Center will once again host their annual Zucchini Festival at the Holland Community Center at 40 Brimfield Road in Holland. The event will take place on Sunday, August 16th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Admission is free and there's something for everyone to enjoy. We'll have a bake sale, raffle table, a spin the wheel for prizes for the kiddos, a zucchini cook-off contest, and a foam machine for kids and adults alike to run through to cool off. The Holland Fire Department will once again be on hand, unless they're called away, of course, with at least one of their fire trucks to check out, and our giant chess set and cornhole will be set up if you wish to use them. Scout Troop 163 will be selling hot dogs and drinks, and Angry Panda and O'Neill's Lemonade will also be on site. Visitors can browse plenty of booths inside and outside, where both new and returning vendors will offer jewelry, local honey, and homemade items of every kind. It will be a great opportunity for you to bring your redeemable bottles and cans to drop off in our bin to the left of the building. There's something for everyone, so we hope you can join us for this family-friendly, fun-filled afternoon. For more information, please call the center at 413-245-3163 or email us at friendsofholland@gmail.com. Another upcoming event, free concert at Jacob Edwards Library. The Starcats Jazz Trio will perform a free concert called Daydream, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 20th at the Jacob Edwards Library in Southbridge. A delightfully eclectic New England jazz trio, the Starcats was formed in 2017 by vocalist Sarah Clay with the vision to make jazz more fun, accessible, and entertaining for everyone. The Starcats create a new themed concert program each year. For 2026, the Starcats present Daydream. Where do you go when your mind wanders? Sweet reverie, thoughts of love, or rueful rumination? There's music for every mood. Inspired by the public outreach of Winston Marsalis, the vocal brilliance of Ella Fitzgerald, and the humor of Mose Allison, the Starcats intertwine standards by greats like Duke Ellington and Thelonious Monk, bossa nova by Jobim, and arrangements of Stevie Wonder, Sarah Bareilles, Joni Mitchell, and Soundgarden. You'll hear swinging retro pop, spicy Latin rhythms, soul-aching ballads, and mellow blues. Sarah Clay, who is on vocals and flute, thrills with expressive crystalline tone and sultry flute. Bob Ferrier on guitar sparks joy with tasty chords and playful improvisation. Steve Ballmer, with the upright brass, lays down a sweet rhythmic groove that soothes the soul. The Starcats are magnificent. Sarah's scat and flawless range, ingenious bass riffs, fingers dancing up and down the guitar. I left inspired and uplifted, says Reverend Purdy, West Hampton. The Starcats have performed at the Northampton Jazz Festival, the Litchfield Sunrise Concert Series, the Pittsfield Jazz Festival, the 1794 Meeting House, Workshop 13, Summer on Strong Street Festival, the Westfield Athenaeum, the Berkshire Athenaeum, and many more places. This concert is sponsored in part by a grant from the Southbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. And you may enjoy this event, Troop 163 hosting Ice Cream Social and Open House. From Sturbridge, do you like camping, hiking, swimming, biking, fishing, kayaking, whitewater rafting, sailing, exploring with friends, and more? You might like being a scout. Come to an Ice Cream Social and Open House held by Troop Number 163, an all-girl troop of Scouting America. Learn about lassoing and how to use a slingshot and other activities. Families are welcome. Please stop by, have fun, and learn about scouting and our troop. The Ice Cream Social and Open House will be held on Sunday, August 30th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 345 Main Street in Sturbridge. The troop is open to girls ages 11 to 17 and, while based in Sturbridge, is open to residents of any town. Please email troop163sturbridge@gmail.com with any questions. Also coming up, outdoor summer concert returns August 21st in downtown Worcester with Jazz Plus Live featuring the Love Dogs. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM, the Hanover Theater and Conservatory for the Performing Arts, and the Downtown Worcester Business Improvement District invite the community to celebrate summer at the 9th Annual Jazz Plus Live Concert, featuring the acclaimed Jump Blues and Rhythm and Blues Band, the Love Dogs. The outdoor concert will take place on Friday, August 21st, behind the Hanover Theater in downtown Worcester. Gates open at 5 p.m., with the concert beginning at 6. For more than two decades, the Love Dogs, fronted by the charismatic Eddie Shear, have entertained audiences across the United States, Canada, and Europe with their irresistible blend of jump blues, New Orleans R&B, swing, and early rock and roll. The powerhouse horn section, boogie-woogie piano, soulful vocals, and infectious stage presence have made them one of New England's premier live bands and a favorite among music lovers of all ages. Jazz Plus Live has become one of Worcester's signature summer traditions because it brings together outstanding live music, strong community partnerships, and people who simply enjoy spending an evening together. That, according to Melanie LaBeouf, executive director of WICN Public Radio. At WICN, we believe music has the power to connect people. Guests are encouraged to bring their lawn chairs, along with food and non-alcoholic beverages, to enjoy during the performance. Food trucks and cash bars will be available throughout the evening. Outside alcohol is not permitted. General admission tickets are $30 in advance and $35 on the day of the event. Guests should bring their own lawn chairs. VIP front row tables for four are available for $175 per table, offering reserved seating with the best views of the stage. Tickets are available through the Hanover Theater box office and online at thehanovertheater.org. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM is an independent, nonprofit public radio station serving central Massachusetts and beyond through award-winning jazz, roots, blues, world music, and locally produced programming. WICN Public Radio connects listeners with the arts, culture, education, and conversations that enrich the region. WICN's mission is to inspire, entertain, and engage diverse audiences while supporting the cultural vitality of the communities it serves. Broadcasting throughout central New England and streaming worldwide, WICN brings exceptional music and local voices to audiences wherever they are. You're listening to Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Another event happening in Worcester, Mechanics Hall expands Club 321 to year-round concert series. Mechanics Hall announces the 2026-27 season of Club 321, expanding its popular live music series to 12 performances spanning July 2026 through June of 2027. The season opened on July 30th and introduces a new full-season subscription, giving audiences more opportunities to experience outstanding regional, national, and international artists in an informal club setting. With the launch of Club 321 in 2022, Mechanics Hall created an inviting listening room in the iconic landmark's Washburn Hall, showcasing exceptional musicians across blues, jazz, soul, folk, Americana, and world music. Now presented one Thursday evening every month, the series has earned a loyal following for its relaxed atmosphere and outstanding live performances. Since the first performance has already passed, I will give you the individual ticket prices, $30 person for each of the shows. Mechanics Hall members receive an additional 10% discount on both individual tickets and subscriptions. Club 321 gives audiences the chance to discover incredible musicians in a setting where every seat feels close to the stage, said Kristen Carney, education and outreach manager for Mechanics Hall and the curator of this season's series. This season brings together artists representing a wide range of musical traditions, from returning audiences' favorites to performers making their Club 321 debut. Every concert offers something unique while maintaining the high caliber of musicianship audiences have come to expect from Mechanics Hall. Club 321 takes place in Washburn Hall at Mechanics Hall with cabaret tables, theater seating, and standing room creating a relaxed club atmosphere. Doors open at 6:15 p.m. with performances from 7 to approximately 9 p.m. Events are open to guests ages 18 and older and include a cash bar, a featured signature cocktail, and charcuterie prepared by Worcester Local Charcuterie by Charisse. Tickets are available at mechanicshall.org. Here's the schedule starting this month, August. On the 20th, it's Carlos Odria and Rio Flo playing Latin jazz and world music. September 24th's offering is Albino Mbi, Afropop and global music. And in October, on the 22nd, it's Greg Piccolo and Heavy Juice with blues and R&B, presented in partnership with 90.5 WICN's Brian Barlow series. Worcester's Mechanics Hall is internationally regarded as one of the world's great concert halls. Regionally, it's a gathering place celebrated for its architecture, acoustics, and vibrant cultural programming. In addition to serving as a premier performance venue and recording venue, Mechanics Hall offers inspiring cultural experiences through concerts, educational initiatives, community events, a youth chorus, and collaborative partnerships. Mechanics Hall is a nonprofit organization owned and operated by the Worcester County Mechanics Association, established in 1842. You can learn more at mechanicshall.org. Our next story, All Saints Academy 8th graders experience learning beyond the classroom. The 8th grade students of All Saints Academy recently traveled to an outdoor classroom in Freedom, New Hampshire, for an unforgettable 3-day educational experience that blended outdoor adventure, environmental science, engineering, teamwork, and personal growth. This field study served as a culminating activity of their years at the school and was selected by them among several opportunities. During their stay, students engaged in hands-on science and engineering activities that brought key concepts to life. In a bridge-building challenge inspired by Leonardo da Vinci, they constructed wooden structures held together solely by gravity and friction, without nails or glue, and tested their strength by walking across them. They also collaborated to build a 4-level, 25-foot-tall PVC geodesic dome, gaining a deeper understanding of the physics behind its stability. In addition, students applied practical outdoor skills through cooking activities, building fires, and preparing food while connecting scientific concepts to real-world applications. Beyond their academic experience, students participated in team-building activities that fostered communication, leadership, cooperation, and problem-solving. Whether hiking wooded trails, engaging in group initiatives, learning new outdoor skills, or simply enjoying the tranquility of the lake at sunset, they built confidence while deepening trust and strengthening peer relationships. Evening programs provided opportunities for reflection, recreation, and community building, with sing-alongs creating lasting memories that will remain with students long after graduation. The outdoor classroom experience offers meaningful opportunities for students to grow academically, socially, and personally while enjoying the beauty of New Hampshire's natural surroundings. All Saints Academy is grateful to the dedicated professionals whose passion and commitment help foster a lasting connection between students and the natural world, making this memorable educational adventure possible. Another story of student experience: Shepherd Hill students tackled the Stigma 5K to promote mental health awareness. The Shepherd Hill Regional High School cheerleading program, in partnership with the Dudley-Charlton Regional School District community, is inviting residents to lace up their running shoes and help break down barriers surrounding mental health during the annual Tackle the Stigma 5K and 2.5K Walk and Run on Saturday, September 27th. The event will begin at 10 a.m. at the Shepherd Hill football field and is designed to raise awareness about mental health and mental wellness while encouraging open conversations throughout the local community. Organizers hope participants of all ages will come together to demonstrate support for those facing mental health challenges and reinforce the message that no one has to struggle alone. This event is very important to us as we work to raise awareness about mental health and mental wellness throughout our local community, organizers said in announcing the event. The Walk and Run carries the theme, Run Toward Awareness, Stand Up for Support, and Tackle the Stigma 1 mile at a time, reflecting its focus on education, compassion, and community involvement. Mental health advocates continue to emphasize the importance of reducing the stigma surrounding anxiety, depression, and other mental health conditions, which can often prevent individuals from seeking help. Community events such as Tackle the Stigma aim to create a welcoming environment where conversations about mental wellness are encouraged and support resources are highlighted. In addition to providing an opportunity for exercise and community engagement, the event serves as a reminder that mental health is an important part of our overall well-being. Organizers hope the day will inspire participants to check in with their friends, family members, and neighbors while promoting a culture of understanding and acceptance. The Shepherd Hill cheerleaders have made mental health awareness a priority, using the event to unite students, families, educators, and community members around a common cause. By bringing together participants from across Dudley, Charlton, and surrounding communities, They hope to build momentum for ongoing conversations that extend well beyond race day. Whether participants choose the full 5-kilometer course or the shorter 2.5-kilometer walk and run, organizers say every step represents a commitment to supporting mental health wellness and reminding those who may be struggling that help is available. Registration information and additional event details are expected to be available through Shepherd Hill Regional High School and the Dudley-Charlton Regional School District as the event approaches. Now we turn to the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. It's not about a vegetable, it's about community. Every town has its traditions. Some revolve around grand parades or historic anniversaries. Others are built around something far more humble. In Holland, one of those traditions happens to be a zucchini. On the surface, the Friends of the Holland Community Center's annual zucchini festival may sound like a lighthearted celebration of an abundant summer vegetable. But anyone who has spent time in a small town knows these events are never really about the produce. They are about people. The August 16th festival once again promises a full afternoon of family fun, from a bake sale and zucchini cook-off to local vendors, children's activities, live demonstrations, and food from local organizations and businesses. There will be opportunities to support Scout Troop 163, browse handmade crafts, visit with neighbors, and even drop off redeemable bottles and cans to benefit the community center. What makes these events so valuable is that they strengthen the connections that make small towns resilient. Community centers often serve as the living rooms of rural towns. They host meetings, celebrations, educational programs, and gatherings that bring together residents of all ages. They're places where newcomers become neighbors, and longtime residents reconnect with familiar faces. These facilities do not thrive on buildings alone. They thrive because volunteers devote countless hours organizing fundraisers, maintaining programs, and creating reasons for people to come together. The Friends of the Holland Community Center exemplify that spirit. Organizing an event of this size requires months of planning, recruiting vendors, coordinating entertainment, arranging volunteers, and handling countless details that most visitors never see. Their reward is measured not in profits, but in laughter, conversations, and seeing families spend an afternoon together. The festival also highlights another important truth about community life. Local organizations succeed when they support one another. The Holland Fire Department's participation gives children a chance to explore a fire truck and perhaps meet the firefighters who stand ready to respond when emergencies arise. Scout Troop 163 gains valuable fundraising opportunities while providing food for visitors. Local artisans, beekeepers, and craftspeople have a venue to showcase their work. Small businesses like Angry Panda and O'Neill's Lemonade become part of the day's experience. Everyone benefits from everyone else's success. That cooperative spirit has long been one of rural New England's greatest strengths. Rather than competing for attention, organizations often work side by side, recognizing that a vibrant community depends on many hands pulling in the same direction. There's another benefit that often goes unnoticed. In an era when so much of daily life takes place through phones and computer screens, community festivals encourage something increasingly rare: face-to-face conversation. Children play together without worrying about notifications. Neighbors who have not seen each other since winter catch up over lemonade. Volunteers meet new residents. Visitors discover organizations they may later choose to support. These simple interactions help build the trust and familiarity that make communities stronger when challenges arise. Not every event has to be large or elaborate to have lasting value. Sometimes all it takes is a shared meal, a friendly competition, a few local vendors, and a reason to spend an afternoon together. The annual Zucchini Festival reminds us that community isn't built through grand gestures. It grows steadily through ordinary people giving their time, sharing their talents, and creating opportunities for others to belong. That may be the most important harvest of all. And that's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Now we turn to some student news. Approximately 7,000 students received bachelor's degrees and over 100 majors at the University of Massachusetts Amherst's undergraduate commencement on May 15th at McGurk Alumni Stadium. These local students received degrees from Brimfield, Libby Higgins Sheldon, Abigail Catherine Statenfield. From Charlton, Callie Elizabeth Kahn, Dylan Michael Carboneau, Samantha Cox, Andrew John Kania, Connor Daniel Montville, Amanda Sampson, and Anna Catherine Thomas. From Fiskdale, Laurel Eleanor Ives, Christian E. Clagus, Noah Elias Eduardo Latch, and from Southbridge, Cal Philip Hopkins, Zachary L. Laverne, Madison Quinn Murphy. From Sturbridge, Rita Carolyn Goodwin, and from Wales, May Marie Adams. From Dudley, Nichols College congratulates the 2026 graduating class who earned their academic degrees at the college's commencement ceremony on May 2, 2026, at the DCU Center in Worcester. The following local students earned the degrees. Emma White of Charlton earned a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. Robert Thomas of Southbridge earned a Bachelor of Arts. Julia Fenning of Brimfield earned a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. Angel Cologne Rivera of Fiskdale, a Master of Business Administration. Benjamin Yotter of Sturbridge, a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. We applaud these students for their achievements. From Worcester, the College of the Holy Cross congratulates the students named to the Spring 2026 Dean's List for outstanding academic achievement during the spring semester of this academic year. The following local students made that list: Molly Hatchie of Charlton, Class of 2026, Erin Moran of Charlton, Class of 2026, and Alexandra Matheson of Sturbridge, Class of 2028. Our next story, drought conditions prompt water restrictions. The Massachusetts Drought Task Force issues a Level 2 significant drought status for Worcester County. The town of Southbridge now has to require that all Southbridge and Charlton water customers refrain from all outside water use except for handheld watering between the hours of 5 and 9 p.m. Please turn off all outside sprinkler systems. This declaration from the state also applies to homes with private wells. Certain water users are not subject to restrictions, such as production of food and fiber, health and safety reasons, maintenance of livestock, and core functions of a business, for example, irrigation for a nursery. For the general public's information, currently the Southbridge Water Department's reservoir system is at 100.1% of total capacity. This is within our historical average for this time of year. The declaration is a countywide declaration and not due to any current water storage shortfalls within the Southbridge Water Department. This declaration is part of new laws and regulations put forth by the state legislature, and enforcement went into effect in April 2025. To be clear, the Southbridge Water Department is not experiencing any water shortages currently. The declaration of Level 2 significant drought will remain in effect until the State Drought Task Force deems that the conditions within Worcester County have returned to acceptable levels. Please feel free to contact the Southbridge Water Department at 508-764-3207 if you have any questions or concerns. Next, Major General Salem Town Lodge holds family cookout. On Saturday, July 25th, Masonic family members and friends from Major General Salem Town Lodge and the Doric Chapter of Southbridge filled the upper parking lot at Westville Dam Recreation Area in Southbridge for their annual summer cookout. These respected organizations have hosted this family tradition since 1991. On a beautiful summer day, guests enjoyed a strong turnout, walking trails, scenic views, and the natural beauty of Westville Dam, which has been the lodge's favorite recreation area for the past 35 years. Because the large pavilion is highly sought after, it must be reserved a year in advance. Children laughed and played, and guests of all ages enjoyed the games. The highlights of the day were the delicious food, the chance to reconnect with brethren and their families, and the camaraderie shared by all. If you are interested in learning more about Freemasonry, please visit www.massfreemasonry.org to find a lodge near you. Now a column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, its Financial Focus, written by Trevor Nielsen. In this week's topic, Building Your Child's Education Fund, One Brick at a Time. Every solid house starts with a good blueprint and a strong foundation. Saving for a child's education is very similar. College costs can seem daunting. In addition to tuition, you'll need to account for housing and food, books, supplies, transportation, and other expenses. The average annual budget at an in-state public university runs around $30,990 today, and a private school is $65,470, according to the College Board. While most families won't pay a college's list price, you'll still want to start saving as early as possible to be ready when your child is. Lay the foundation early. You don't have to wait until you have the perfect set of plans to start building. There are specific accounts designed to save for education, and some do not require a minimum opening deposit. Setting up automatic recurring contributions, even modest ones, lets you build steadily over time without requiring constant attention. As your child ages, look for ways to redirect expenses you no longer have towards the build. For example, daycare costs, which can exceed $1,000 a month, can be shifted into a college savings account once your child enters school. Tax refunds and annual bonuses make excellent additional contributions, and others can pitch in. Instead of birthday or holiday toys, ask grandparents or relatives to contribute directly to a college savings account. You need to know the size of that house you're building. Family saving for community college, followed by 2 years at a public university, might target around $65,000. Those aiming for 4 years at a public school are looking at roughly $100,000. Whatever the goal, plan for education inflation of about 4% annually, which can roughly double costs over 18 years. You don't have to source all the building materials yourself, of course. Scholarships, grants, student loans, and income from part-time work are all legitimate ways to help finish the structure. Don't let one project consume the whole budget. One risk for parents is pouring so much into the college fund that the retirement fund goes neglected. Remember, loans and grants exist for college, but not for retirement. Striking the right balance may mean targeting a more affordable school, planning to cover only a portion of costs, or adjusting retirement timelines slightly. Choose the right building materials as well. For many families, a 529 plan is the right foundation. Earnings grow tax-free, Distributions are federally tax-free when used for qualified education expenses, and many states offer additional income tax deductions for contributions. Even better, anyone, such as grandparents or friends, can contribute. Additionally, qualified expenses for a 529 plan go beyond tuition and cover books, computers, internet access, room and board, and more. Vocational and trade schools often qualify too, opening the door to careers in skilled trades, healthcare, and technology. And remember, no contractor builds alone. A knowledgeable financial advisor can help you draw up a realistic blueprint and make sure the college project doesn't crowd out the rest of your financial future. The earlier you break ground on that conversation, the stronger the structure will be. This article was written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Please contact Trevor Nielsen, your local Edward Jones advisor in Sturbridge, at 508-347-1420 or trevor.nielsen@edwardjones.com. Edward Jones is a member SIPC. We have an obituary from this week's Southridge Evening News. That of Priscilla A. Burke Verrier, 93, formerly of Alexander Road in Holland, who passed away July 16th at her daughter's home in South Carolina, where she has been living for the past couple of years. She was born in 1933 in Biddeford, Maine, and attended local schools. She worked at Sanderson McLeod and Palmer for 17 years and Wright's Outlet Store for 3 years before her retirement in 1997. Priscilla was a communicant of St. Christopher's Church in Brimfield. In 2021, she was predeceased by her husband, Ralph H. Verrier. Her love will remain with her 5 children, Robert and his wife Odette Verrier of Plattsburgh, New York, Kathleen Worthing of Conway, South Carolina, and her husband Richard, Joanne Wood of Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, and her husband Gary, James Verrier of Germantown, North Carolina, and his wife Donna, and Teresa Fullerton of Birch Tree, Missouri, and her husband William. She also leaves several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. The funeral was held in July. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Alzheimer's Association. We have this story for you, Internet Initiative in Southern Worcester County. Community Broadband Networks, or CBN, funded by the Massachusetts Broadband Institute, a division of the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, is pleased to announce the launch of its project within the Residential Retrofit Program, bringing affordable high-speed fiber Internet service to residents across South Worcester County. The initiative formally commenced with a go-live event on June 17th at 60 Charlton Street in Southbridge, the first property to receive CBN service under this transformative program. Supported by funding from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts through the American Rescue Plan's Capital Projects Fund, the Residential Retrofit Program is designed to deliver reliable, gigabit-capable broadband infrastructure to underserved multi-dwelling communities. This investment represents a significant step forward in expanding digital access and ensuring that residents in this historically underserved area have the connectivity necessary to participate fully in today's digital economy. The June 17th Go Live event celebrated the activation of service at the Southbridge Housing Authority property located at 60 Charlton Street. Residents had the opportunity to learn more about available service offerings, engage directly with the CBN team, and take advantage of early enrollment opportunities. The event also served as a community gathering to mark the beginning of a broader effort to modernize connectivity throughout the region. This launch represents a meaningful milestone, not only for Southbridge, but for the entire region, said James Orioli, Chief Operating Officer of Community Broadband Networks. Our mission is to ensure that reliable high-speed internet is both accessible and affordable for all residents. Through our partnership with MBI, we are proud to deliver critical infrastructure that will support education, workforce development, healthcare access, and overall quality of life for the communities we serve. The 60 Charlton Street deployment represents the first phase of a broader infrastructure initiative that will extend throughout South Worcester County, including communities such as Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Oxford, Webster, and surrounding areas. Construction across the project footprint was expected to continue through July. And phased service activations would continue thereafter as each location is completed. As part of the residential retrofit program, CBN is deploying a fiber-to-the-premises network architecture within participating properties, enabling residents to access high-capacity, low-latency broadband service. The network is designed to deliver symmetrical gigabit speeds with scalability to support future increases in demand. In addition to infrastructure improvements, the program includes a strong emphasis on digital equity, ensuring that residents have not only access to service, but also the tools and support necessary to fully benefit from connectivity. Through the residential retrofit program, MBI is providing affordable and reliable access to help residents gain digital skills, apply for jobs, and access community resources, said MBI Director Michael Baldino. Our partnership with CBN across South Worcester County will uplift historically marginalized communities, narrowing the digital divide and expanding economic opportunity in the region. The project includes enhancements to in-building infrastructure, expanded connectivity to individual residential units, and improvements to shared spaces to support reliable internet access throughout each property. These investments are intended to create a long-term, sustainable broadband solution that meets the needs of residents today while preparing communities for the future. The Go Live event at 60 Charlton Street marked the beginning of this broader regional deployment and underscored the shared commitment of CBN and MBI to closing the digital divide across Massachusetts. Community members interested in learning more about the service or upcoming availability are encouraged to contact Community Broadband Networks for more information. Community Broadband Networks is dedicated to expanding access to reliable, affordable broadband services in underserved and unserved communities. Through strategic partnerships and investment in modern infrastructure, CBN delivers high-quality connectivity solutions that support economic development, education, and community growth. The Massachusetts Broadband Institute, or MBI, uses state and federal funding to launch infrastructure expansion programs that target areas of the state that lack high-speed internet access, as well as digital equity programs that tackle barriers to internet adoption and increase availability, addressing critical issues around affordability, enhanced public Wi-Fi, the need for internet-enabled devices, and digital literacy training. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Now a story from QCC, major collaborative milestone marked at QCC Center topping off. Quinsigamond Community College in Worcester celebrated a major construction milestone with a topping-off ceremony for its new QCC Center, marking the completion of the building's structural frame. State and local leaders, project partners, and members of the college community gathered to witness the raising of the final beam and celebrate the progress of this transformational project. Through careful planning, advocacy, fundraising, design, and construction, the vision is now becoming a reality, said QCC President Dr. Luis Pedraja. Most importantly, this will create opportunities for students to develop the skills they need to succeed in today's workforce and strengthen the connection between education, industry, and our community. The event featured a ceremonial beam signing and remarks from Pradraja, State Senator Robin Kennedy, State Representative James O'Day, Worcester Mayor Joseph Petty, Assistant Secretary Robert LePage of the Massachusetts Executive Office of Education, Deputy Commissioner Dr. Richard Ricciardi of the Massachusetts Department of Higher Education, Commissioner Adam Back of the Massachusetts Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance, and Craig Skirka, Operations Manager for Gilbane Building Company. The raising of the beam is a moment for us to give gratitude and thank those who have stepped up to make this a reality, Kennedy said. As you join in the growing skyline of Worcester, we continue to grow with you. By signing our names to these beams, we are signing our commitment to make sure the school continues to be successful. The topping-off ceremony commemorated the progress of the $37.4 million renovation and expansion project, which is transforming a 1960s-era athletic facility into a modern, accessible hub for learning, workforce development, and student life. Upon completion, the 57,000-square-foot facility will feature advanced manufacturing and robotics laboratories, hospitality training spaces, flexible classrooms, and revitalized athletic facilities. This project also includes significant upgrades to aging infrastructure and accessibility improvements designed to create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all students. This project is so important to the mission and vision of Quinsigamond Community College, the region it serves, and the Commonwealth, Ricciardi said. We know that holistic student success incorporates curricular and co-curricular initiatives, and this project provides the infrastructure to check both of those boxes. Speakers highlighted the collaborative partnership among the college, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and project stakeholders who have made this investment possible. It's a necessity that we continue to improve our community college environment, O'Day said. The legislature has made it very clear that not only is higher ed important, but certainly the community college segment is equally as important. It's been an honor to be able to represent the college. This is the type of transformation envisioned through the Commonwealth's Bright Act, an act to build resilient infrastructure to generate higher education transformation. The statewide initiative is designed to support modernization of public higher education facilities. I want to thank our legislative partners for championing the Bright Act to date and hopefully getting it across the finish line so we can keep doing impactful projects like this one, Backey said. As someone whose parents both worked at community colleges, I know that there are few things we do that are more important in changing the lives of residents across the Commonwealth than what community colleges do every day. Another column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, Lanterns Along Main Street, written by Charles. This week's topic, When Every Errand Takes a Little Longer. I had three stops to make the other day. On paper, it should have taken about 30 minutes. Pick up one item, drop off another, grab a gallon of milk, and head home. An hour and 15 minutes later, I finally pulled into the driveway. The funny thing is, I wasn't delayed by traffic. I was delayed by people. At the hardware store, I bumped into a fellow I hadn't seen since last fall. We spent a few minutes talking about the weather, which in New England is less a conversation starter than an ongoing community project. We compared notes on gardens, wondered whether we'd ever get enough rain, and somehow ended up discussing high school football schedules. At the post office, another familiar face asked how my wife was doing. Before I could answer, someone else joined the conversation because they had overheard the question and knew exactly who we were talking about. By the time I reached the grocery store, I'd already had 3 conversations and learned about a church supper, a grandson's first job, and a neighbor's new puppy. None of it had anything to do with why I left the house. It reminded me that errands used to be more than chores. They were social occasions. You never know who you'd run into, and that was part of the experience. If someone spotted your car in a parking lot, there was a decent chance you'd meet them inside before you made it to the checkout. Nowadays, efficiency seems to be the goal. Order online, pick up curbside, self-checkout, tap your card, head home. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Sometimes convenience is exactly what we need. But convenience has quietly eliminated some of the unexpected moments that make living in a small town feel different from living anywhere else. Those chance encounters don't accomplish much in the traditional sense. They don't shorten your to-do list or make you more productive. What they do is remind you that you're part of a community. You hear that someone's daughter earned a scholarship. You learn that a longtime business owner is finally taking a vacation. You find out a neighbor had surgery and could use someone to mow the lawn next week. None of those updates arrive through an app. They travel the old-fashioned way, one conversation at a time. I suppose that's why I've never been too bothered when an errand takes longer than expected. If I leave the house with a list of 5 things to do and come home having completed all 5, that's a successful trip. If I also come home knowing a little more about the people who share this corner of Massachusetts with me, that's an even better one. The older I get, the more I appreciate those unscheduled conversations. They can't be penciled into a calendar or squeezed between appointments. They simply happen when neighbors cross paths. And maybe that's why they're worth protecting. Because someday, we'll all finish our errands. What we'll remember are the people we met along the way. And that's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. And just a reminder that there are many ways that you can listen to Audio Journal broadcasts. One is streaming it live from our website, www.audiojournal.org. You can also get a special receiver tuned to Audio Journal's frequency, supplied at no cost to our listeners. If you need one or more information, call us at 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell, and I thank you for listening.
This is Bird Noir. I'm Private Eye Michael Stein. Every good investigator knows to stay vigilant for suspicious behavior. But a call from my old friend Cora reminded me that there's often more to a bird than meets the eye.
Michael, I just found the strangest bird. He looked like a crow, but sounded all wrong.
That does seem odd, Cora. Could he be a common raven? They look like giant crows that sound deep and croaky.
No, his calls were more short and nasal. I even said to him, "What, you got a cold or something?" And that bird called back to me saying, "Uh-uh." I mean, the whole thing seems fishy to me.
Fishy is right, but not for the reason you think. In most of the U.S., the American crow is the only crow in town. That's the caw you're probably used to. But on the Atlantic coast, and parts of the Midwest too, the fish crow is a common city bird. The two species look the same, but the fish crow's nasal caw is unmistakable.
two kinds of crows.
Actually, there are more than 30 species worldwide.
Okay, wise guy. I'll drop you a line if any of them come cawing.
Yep, another case closed. For Bird Noir, I'm Private Eye Michael Stein.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.